Going behind the headlines on some of our biggest stories today, and we're at the scene of a major incident in Southport where one arrest has been made and multiple casualties are taken to hospital.
Because she can hear screaming and crying, and all she said was she saw members of, I don't know, either police or ambulance carrying out girls.
And we're being told that tax rises could be on the cards.
We have inherited a projected overspend of £22 billion.
I'm Louise Easton. It's Monday, the 29th of July, 2024. And we're starting in Southport, where children are among at least eight people who've been stabbed. Emergency services were scrambled across Merseyside earlier, with a major incident being declared. Our reporter Harry Booth is at the scene.
Emergency services were called to where I'm now standing just before 12. There's still a large police presence here, a police car next to me, lots of police cars and officers within the cordon. Some forensics officers have been in and out as well over the last couple of hours or so. We're told armed police arrested a man and seized a knife. Our reporter Sophie Merrick has the latest from the emergency services and Alderhay.
Bosses at Alderhay have declared a major incident, with some of the patients being brought to the Children's Hospital. Northwest Ambulance Service tell us eight people with stab injuries were rushed to Alderhay, Aintree Hospital and Southport and Formby Hospital. In total, they've had 13 ambulances, a hazardous area response team, an air ambulance and doctors at the scene. Bosses at Alderhay say it's extremely busy and are asking parents not to bring their children to the emergency department unless it's urgent.
Well, tonight, a 17-year-old is in police custody. He's due to be questioned over this incident. Merseyside police say they're not treating it as a terror-related issue and are not looking for anyone else in connection with it. Still to come, I'll tell you why children in London are to benefit from £2 million. And the gold rush has officially started for Team GB at the Olympics. But first, former BBC presenter Hugh Edwards has been charged with making indecent images of children. The 62-year-old, who's originally from Bridgend, was arrested last November. Our reporter Rosanna Robbins has more on this one.
The veteran broadcaster left the BBC in April, months after he'd stopped appearing on air. It's now been revealed he faces three different charges relating to a total of 37 images shared via WhatsApp between December 2020 and April 2022. Edwards is due for Westminster Magistrates Court on Wednesday.
A man who hired a hitman to kill his wife in Leighton Buzzard has been jailed for life. Alan Morgan, who's 74, wanted Carol Morgan's money so he could start a new life with his lover. Our reporter Shauna Burns has this story.
Well, it was August 1981 when Carol Morgan was brutally and fatally assaulted at the corner shop she shared with her husband. She knew that he was having an affair, but hoped to rebuild their marriage. Judge Justice Martin Spencer has told a court today about her final moments.
She did not deserve to die, and I have no doubt that as she met her death, her final thoughts would have been with her two children.
Well, Alan Morgan has never revealed the identity of the hitman and has spent the last 43 years living with his lover, Margaret Morgan, and Carol's children. Her daughter told Luton Crown Court the man she calls Dad has lied to her for her entire life. Detective Superintendent Carl Foster has been on the case since 2018.
I would like to pay tribute to Carol's children. Nobody can imagine the impact that this has had on them, and our many witnesses whose lives have been rocked by this trial.
Alan will have to spend at least the next 22 years behind bars.
10 million pensioners will lose out on winter fuel payments as part of attempts to fill a £22 billion black hole in public finances. The Chancellor says she's having to make difficult decisions to deal with the legacy passed on by the Tories. Our political editor Georgie Pajomu joins me now and can tell us a bit more about Rachel Reeves's announcement.
The Chancellor says this isn't a decision she wanted to make, but blamed the last government for overspending.
Those not in receipt of pension credit or certain other means-tested benefits will no longer receive the winter fuel payment from this year onwards. The government will continue to provide winter fuel payments worth £200 to households receiving pension credit.
The last Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, had this to say.
She will fool absolutely no one with a shameless attempt to lay the grounds for tax rises.
Rachel Reeves also scrapped Tory education, transport and care plans in her announcement today.
And Georgie, while you're with us, what else has been happening in Westminster today?
Well, the race to be the next Tory leader is very much on. Nominations closed today and six of them would like the top job. Former Home Secretaries James Cleverly and Priti Patel, Kemi Badenoch, Tom Tugendhat, Mel Stride and Robert Jenrick are all in the running. But this won't be over anytime soon. They're going to whittle it down to four candidates before making pitches at the party conference in the autumn. The winner will be announced in November.
Thanks, Georgie. Well, back to the finances we mentioned a little earlier. And one of those projects that's been cancelled by the Chancellor is the A303 Stonehenge Tunnel project. Our reporter Aaron Harper can explain more about this one.
The Chancellor has cancelled the project on the basis of if we cannot afford it, we cannot do it.
Transport Secretary will undertake a thorough review of these commitments. As part of that work, she has agreed not to move forwards with projects that the previous government refused to publicly cancel, despite knowing full well that they were unaffordable. That includes proposed work on the A303 and the A27.
The scheme was set to cost around £3 billion and would have seen a two-mile tunnel built past the ancient site. Campaigners have been rallying to get the plan scrapped through the courts, with the latest appeal heard earlier this month. We've approached Wiltshire Council and the Department for Transport to comment.
The families of two men who died when a light aircraft crashed in North Yorkshire say they're utterly heartbroken. 21-year-old Matthew Bird and 24-year-old Oliver Dawes were both killed when their plane crashed near Selby yesterday morning. Our chief reporter Cathy Green's been in Thorngumby today.
Emergency crews were called to the field behind me just before 10 o'clock yesterday morning. In a small, very rural community, these people tell me they're in shock.
Just sad. Don't have anybody concerned. And the families.
It's a close-knit community. Everywhere around here will feel the loss, I'm sure.
Today, Oliver Dawes was described as a kind, generous and hard-working man. The family of the pilot, Matthew Bird, says he meant so much to so many and they will cherish the incredibly special memories he left them with. Jackie Doyle Brett is the vicar of St Helens in Thorngumby and says the whole village is devastated by what's happened.
I've spoken to some people and it is just... It is just such a tragedy and it's hard to get your mind around it.
An investigation into what caused the crash is underway.
Three people have been arrested as part of an investigation into the burial of ashes at Lincoln Crematorium. A woman and two men have been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. Our reporter Charlotte Lineker has more.
There are six families affected by this and follows reports made by staff from the crematorium in May. I've spoken to the City of Lincoln Council's Chief Executive Angela Andrews, who tells me more.
So we started two internal investigations and those investigations, when we got to a particular point, were passed over to Lincolnshire Police. We passed them over to them about the 29th of May.
Now, Lincolnshire Police say its investigation is focused around one individual whose ashes could not be located, yet the burial ceremony went ahead witnessed by family members. The three arrested remain in custody for questioning while officers continue to work with the council to establish the facts of this case.
Now, children across London will be able to take part in a number of summer activities thanks to £2 million of funding from the London Mayor. It's hoped it will help keep vulnerable children away from youth violence. Our reporter Claire Bode has been to one of these summer clubs in Ilford.
Just last week alone, we heard of two teenagers in London dying due to youth violence. And both the police and campaigners have told us a focus on youth services is vital to stop more young people being injured and dying. Someone else who believes this as well is London Mayor Sadiq Khan.
We're the best one in the world. We're not going to arrest ourselves at this problem. We've got to be providing young people with constructive things to do. When I look around this park and I see the young people getting involved in football or cricket or other sorts of activities, I wonder what they would be doing but for our funding.
Now, the mayor says he believes it's summer clubs like this cricket club in Ilford which will protect vulnerable children from exploitation and violence over the school summer holidays. And with this new £2 million investment, it's hoped foundations will now be built that will keep children and young people away from a life of violence.
The gold rush has officially started at the Paris Olympics. Team GB now have nine medals in total at the Games, which include a gold for Tom Pidcock, who retained his mountain bike title, and a silver in the canoe slalom for Adam Burgess, while athletes from across the southwest have also been making their mark. With more, here's our reporter, Oliver Morgan.
Set.
And they're off. After the first weekend of competition, there'd been nobody taking the top of the podium, but the tides are turning. Wiltshire's Tom McEwen, Gloucestershire's Laura Collis, alongside teammates Ros Cantor, have taken it home to win Team GB's first gold in eventing. Over 3 days, they've, as a team, done show jumping, dressage and cross-country, but they're not done yet, having also qualified for the individual finals. Meanwhile, it's an historic day for Devon's Tom Daly too, claiming his fifth Olympic diving medal, securing a silver alongside Noah Williams in the men's synchronised 10-metre platform final.
And Armagh GAA fans are celebrating after the county won their first All-Ireland title in 22 years. Tens of thousands were there to witness the sporting victory, and Northern Ireland sports reporter Gareth McCullough has the story.
The All-Ireland Gaelic football final is the biggest event in Irish sport, with over 80,000 fans packing into Dublin's Croke Park Stadium to witness the battle between counties Armagh and Galway. It was Armagh who emerged victorious by just a single point in a tense battle that saw them win the title, the Sam Maguire Cup, for the first time since 2002. At the team's unofficial homecoming last night, these young fans were lost for words.
Oh, it was unbelievable, I couldn't believe it.
It's unreal, like a brilliant moment, amazing, the crowd going wild in there.
Speechless, like so, it's unbelievable.
Neil from Liverpool joined thousands of fans in the celebrations, and he says it's a unique experience.
You just don't get this here, back home for us, you know what I mean? You see big celebrations, but everyone, kids to older people, you know what I mean? Everyone, the whole community coming together. The flags, the banners, the signs, spray paint stuff everywhere. I don't see that back home, so it's been amazing to be a part of it, and brilliant to see the Sam Maguire coming home.
The team's official victory parade takes place this evening in Armagh City.
For more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels.